Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again, wherever we are, we tell you, I firmly believe that you are here. You are here in my soul, in the state of grace. You are here in your loving providence, looking after me, watching over me, leading me gently to my end. You are here in your knowledge of everything about me. You have gone ahead to prepare a place for me, and there you await me, and I look forward one day to being with you in heaven. And it is so consoling to know that no matter what is happening in our life, you are with us. You don't abandon us. And we would like to see life always as smooth sailing, with everything going according to the plans that we make. And we know that life is not like that. Many things do go the way we planned, and we are grateful to you for that. And many don't, because you allow them to go in a different direction. That is all part of your loving plan for our sanctification, for our purification, to have a few crosses in life to offer up so that one day we can avoid purgatory or have a shorter purgatory. And so in those various aspects of life, so much is beyond our control. Our health. We do all we can to be healthy, to stay fit, to observe the diet, to take whatever medication the doctor has prescribed. But sometimes, in spite of that, we lose our health. We can lose our job. Our financial situation can go awry. Sometimes relationships within the family, within the broader family, with friends, can become unstuck. And that strong friendship, that strong marriage, suddenly weakens, and it is a source of great upset. We can have accidents, and there are those concerns for other members of our families and friends whose lives are not going well, especially when it's a matter of their faith. They are not practicing the faith. Some are not living a moral lifestyle, and we're concerned about them. We look at ourselves. There's so many aspects of our own life that in some way are out of control. The good that we ought to do, we don't do. The evil that we ought to avoid, that we do. And we say with those words of St. Paul, concluding, who will free me from this body of death? And Lord, in all of these aspects of life, those that we give thanks to you for because they are going well, and those that seem to be out of our control, we come to you with hope, with faith, with the assurance that you are always with us. And we do our prayer on this important virtue of hope, of those three theological virtues, faith, hope and love. Hope is so important. It means to trust in you, to have hope that you who are almighty, you who are merciful, you who are loving, are always with us, looking after us. And even way back in the Old Testament, we find in the book of Exodus, in one of the many passages that we could read, these words, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy and faithfulness, keeping merciful love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. A God merciful and gracious. Lord, that is you, loving us, being with us, looking after us, forgiving us. And Lord, you love us so much that you became man and dwelt amongst us, suffered at our hands, and died on the cross for us. You love us. St. John begins his account of the Last Supper and of your passion, writing, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Lord, you are with us. You loved us to the end. And having done that for us when we were sinners, when we were still in original sin, what will you not do for us now that we are redeemed by your precious blood? St. Paul writes to the Romans, while we were yet helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we are now justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received our reconciliation. Lord, you died for us sinners. You are there for us now that we are reconciled by your precious blood. We need this virtue of trust in you, of knowing that you are with us. The Catechism says of the virtue of hope, hope is the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit. What is the object of our hope? The kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness. And why do we hope in you? Because we rely on your promises, not on our own strength, and on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit that you always give us. And in the next paragraph, the Catechism says, the virtue of hope responds to the aspiration to happiness which God has placed in the heart of every man. It takes up the hopes that inspire men's activities and purifies them so as to order them to the kingdom of heaven. It keeps man from discouragement. It sustains him during times of abandonment. It opens up his heart in expectation of eternal beatitude. Buoyed up by hope, He is preserved from selfishness and led to the happiness that flows from charity. And Lord, all of these sentences are so important. The Catechism reminds us once again that the ultimate object of our hope is the kingdom of heaven. And when we have that before our eyes, it keeps us from discouragement. Maybe something is not going well at the present time, but one day you will call us to heaven with you. And so we don't get discouraged in our present misfortunes. It sustains him during times of abandonment. And Lord, sometimes we, like you on the cross, can want to cry out, my God, why have you abandoned me? Where are you in my misfortune? And we know that God is always with us. You were quoting that psalm from the Old Testament, and those bystanders at the cross knew what you were doing. God didn't abandon you. God doesn't abandon us. And so it sustains us during times of apparent abandonment. It opens up our heart in expectation of eternal beatitude. Lord, fill us with hope. Sometimes hope is described as the firm expectation of a difficult good not yet possessed. Always a difficult good not yet possessed, for we don't hope for something that we already have or something that is certain to come. A difficult good not yet possessed, and the firm expectation of obtaining it, because you will give us whatever we need, all the graces we need, and ultimately to be with you forever in heaven. Lord, increase our hope. And we find our hope in you, hope in the Lord. You invite us, come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Our hope is in you. And St. Paul writes to the Philippians in those very familiar words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in you, and we listen to your exhortation, have no anxiety about anything. And it is precisely in these times of trials, of uncertainties, that we need to hear those words. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And you promise us, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. Pope Benedict XVI wrote us that beautiful encyclical, Spe Salvi. And he keeps coming back to what he calls the great hope, the hope of eternal life with you in heaven. He writes, here too we see as a distinguishing mark of Christians the fact that they have a future. It is not that they know the details of what awaits them, but they know in general terms that their life will not end in emptiness. Only when the future is certain as a positive reality does it become possible to live the present well. and the present, no matter what we are going through. And the future is certain as a positive reality. You have gone ahead to the Father's house to prepare us a place. And with that in view, we can live the present well. The Pope also writes in that encyclical, man needs God. Otherwise, he remains without hope. And again, anyone who does not know God, even though he may entertain all kinds of hopes, is ultimately without hope, without the great hope that sustains the whole of life. What would it be like not to believe in God, not to believe that there is a Father, a Lord looking after us, who knows everything about us, who allows whatever misfortunes we have for a greater good, who awaits us in heaven? Life must be so black, so bleak, without that knowledge of God, without that faith in God, which fills our life with light. And the Pope goes on, it becomes evident that man has need of a hope that goes further. It becomes clear that only something infinite will suffice for him, something that will always be more than he can ever attain, and ever attain on his own, the Holy Father is implying. We need the infinite. We need the absolute. When life is up and down and uncertain, we come back to you, the absolute being, true Lord, true Father, true brother and Savior, the absolute. You are always there for us. And Pope Benedict says, in addition, this great hope can only be God, who encompasses the whole of reality and who can bestow upon us what we by ourselves cannot attain. You are the great hope. Fill us with hope, so that even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of our trials, we know that you are there for us. And again, we go to the encyclical Spe Salvi, where Pope Benedict writes, man is worth so much to God that he himself became man in order to suffer with man in an utterly real way, in flesh and blood, as is revealed to us in the account of Jesus' passion. Hence, in all human suffering, we are joined by one who experiences and carries that suffering with us. Hence, consolatio is present in all suffering, the consolation of God's compassionate love. And so the star of hope rises. Lord, in the midst of our sufferings, you are with us. You are suffering with us in that compassion, suffering with, giving us that consolatio, that consolation. Help us, especially when we suffer, to know that you are with us. And we read these beautiful words written by a mother of six who was dying of cancer some years ago in Canberra. She kept a diary, which her husband found only after she died. And in that diary, she had written, amongst other things, the pain in my chest is crushing me, as the pain crushed you, as you struggled to breathe while you hung on the cross. You are in my pain. I am in yours. We are one, my God and I. What else can I ever ask for? In this, you have given me proof of your love. I can see it so clearly. I cannot pray for a cure. I can only wait for your next move. And I am willing. What faith, what hope that good woman had. Crushing pain. And she sees that you are in her pain. And she is in yours. We are one, she says. My God and I. What else can I ever ask for? Lord, grant us the faith, the hope, to know that in the midst of our pains, whatever they may be, you are with us. You have not abandoned us. You are giving us that consolation, that compassion. And what is more, you only allow that degree of pain that you know we can bear. St. Francis de Sales writes, with respect to the crosses that life brings us, that is to say, which God sends us, the everlasting God has in his wisdom foreseen from eternity the cross that he now presents to you as a gift from his inmost heart. This cross he now sends you, he has considered with his all-knowing eyes, understood with his divine mind, tested with his wise justice, warmed with his loving arms, and weighed with his own hands to see that it be not 1 inch too large and not 1 ounce too heavy for you. He has blessed it with his holy name, anointed it with his grace, perfumed it with his consolation, taken one last look at you and your courage, and then sent it to you from heaven, a special greeting from God to you, an alms of the all-merciful love of God. And Lord, what faith St. Francis de Sales has to see the cross as a gift from you, which unites us with you. And again we ask, increase my faith, increase my hope, hope in you. St. Jose Maria, in the way, in the chapter on interior struggle, has a number of very short points that we can find helpful, especially when we are going through trials. Each day, my God, I am less sure of myself and more sure of you. Lord, help us to put our hope in you, not in ourselves. Depend on Jesus for everything. You have nothing, are worth nothing, are capable of nothing. He will act if you abandon yourself to him. And Lord, help me, help everyone to do that, to know that we are nothing, but you are everything and you are with us. Help us to abandon ourselves in you. And another point of St. Jose Maria, O Jesus, I rest in you. Lord, we find our rest truly in you. And the final point in that chapter, trust always in your God. He does not lose battles. And Lord, help us to realize that. You do not lose battles. And when we can become discouraged about our own failings or the failings of someone close to us that some people write off as a hopeless case, help us always to know that you are there. You can transform us. There is no such thing as a hopeless case. Years ago, I came across a little poem entitled The Touch of the Master's Hand, which makes this point so clearly. It refers to the auction of an old violin. It says, 'Twas battered and scarred, And the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who will start bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two, $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three?" But no, from the back of the room, far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidden for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried. "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Lord, how many times have you done this in the history of mankind? Taken someone that was on the scrap heap, someone that the world thought nothing of, worthless, and changed that person perhaps into a great saint, the touch of the master's hand. Help us not to give up about ourselves, about anybody that we know, to pray for them. You are there. You want all to be saved, and you give everyone sufficient grace to be saved. Help us to come to you in prayer. Ask and you shall receive. You are with us. Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened. Lord, help us to do that, to know that you are always with us. You are our hope. Nothing is impossible for God. And help us in the midst of whatever trials we may have to keep our thoughts on what really matters. You, our salvation, our eternal rest with you in heaven. No matter what we may go through here, heaven awaits us. That great, supreme, definitive happiness, as the Catechism describes it. And we finish our prayer going to Our Lady, whom we call our hope. And we can call her our hope for three reasons. One, because she brought our hope into the world. You, her divine Son, the foundation of our hope, she brought you to the world. Secondly, because she herself gives an example of hope. She hoped that she, a virgin, could conceive, as the angel said, and she did. She hoped that you at Cana would do that miracle, your first miracle. She had never seen you do a miracle. You hadn't done any, but because she asked you, you did it. She hoped that as she witnessed your suffering and death at Calvary, you would rise again, as you had said you would. And she was the support, the hope of the apostles on that long Holy Saturday before your resurrection on Sunday. She shows us how to hope. And finally, she intercedes for us in heaven, sharing in your omnipotence. You never said no to her on earth. You will not say no to your mother in heaven. And we ask Our Lady, Mary, our hope, fill us with hope. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.